welcome to a Listen to Older Voices Golden Moments program. I'm brought to you through the Toorak Times. This is a repeat program from our archives that we believe has merit enough to rebroadcast so that the story and the person's life can be shared with those who may have missed it the first time. Hello, I'm Rob Greaves, and thank you for joining me for another wonderful episode of Listen to Older Voices, where we're about to share part three, the final part, of the life and times of Bev Gould. Bev is a remarkable woman. Born in 1941, she was brought up, due to a variety of wartime-based reasons, by her grandmothers. Desperate to become a teacher, Bev works hard and excels at school, but is forced by her parents to leave school at 15. Eventually, she marries John and has three children. But this doesn't stop Bev from returning as a mature-age student to daytime high school classes where she matriculates. However, the special needs of her daughter Vanessa sees her putting aside her aspirations, but she becomes the parent representative on various bodies within the TAFE system, where she was the voice for people with mild disabilities. Her stories continue, and we learn how her love for art leads to her owning and operating a large art gallery, Tuscany Galleries. There's more to her story, so let's listen in as Bev talks about the push to integrate people with disabilities into the TAFE system.
There was a push. The push was beginning, and it wasn't really looked on with pleasure from the people to do with special education either. And, you know, I often think that it went too far, but really, it was frustration. I believed that because I'd been able to go to further educate myself, even though I was 36, so I was able to partake of education, everybody should be accorded that right.
Yes.
And so I wouldn't have been sensitive. If I wasn't sensitised to the issue because I had a daughter that was in that situation, I would never have known about it. But because I had Vanessa and because she was in special education, I knew that she was going to have to leave when she was 15. And then what? Because most of the time they're only starting to come into their own.
Indeed.
And that just wasn't fair. And being a Liberal, as I am, I like things to be fair.
If I was to ask you, and I don't know whether you can answer it like this, but if I was to ask you, what would have been your greatest success as an advocate? Could you pinpoint something?
Well, yes, it's getting further education. I come across people nowadays who are able to just go, like people with disability, to go into the TAFE system and learn things. And I think, hallelujah, praise the Lord. You know, that's happened. They're doing it. And it's commonplace. And I'm so excited for them.
What would have been your greatest frustration?
Teachers, principals.
Resistance.
Basically, the attitude that, look, there's nothing wrong with the child except the mother.
No.
The mother is so, you know, over-attentive, expects too much, blah, 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 which is a load of rot. Mm. The mother knows, you know, what's the child's capable of. Even now, Vanessa, I taught her to write her signature beautifully when she was about 8. But what did they do? They untaught her. And now she writes it like, you know, as if she was about 5.
Yeah.
And she's 36.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess my frustration that I never taught Vanessa to be able to read, I would have loved to have been able to do that. But then I have to come to terms with it and say, well, you know, as a soul in her own right, she's chosen not to do that.
Indeed. I mean, it's almost, if you'd gone down that path of that regret, it's almost denying her right,
yes,
in terms of
absolutely.
Her journey.
It's her journey.
Mm.
And what right have I got to say?
Mm. No, the best we can do is to support
absolutely.
The journey.
Absolutely, and we have. Mm. And I take my hat off to my two elder children. You know, we have. We got down on the floor as when Vanessa was little, and taught her how to crawl. We all crawled around the house like mad. This is the way to do it. And she didn't put her hand to her mouth. I mean, that's quite a strong reflex, but she didn't do that. And so we would teach her how to put food in her mouth, and we just did it again and again and again until she got it. And the kids did that. And I think kids learn from other kids a lot.
Yes, it's true.
Yeah.
But then again, your kids have probably done it because of the nurturing you gave them. Mm. So, again, it reflects back on you, and in some ways you've been a really successful teacher.
Yeah, that's right. Isn't that nice to think? Mm. One teaches by being.
Mm.
I think I've learned that now.
Mm.
Yeah.
So how, being so involved in advocacy and so involved in your daughter's development, mm-hmm. how did all this mutate into art galleries?
Okay. Let's see. In 1990, Vanessa had gone to live in Bega. She was away, actually, living in Bega for 7 years. And she lived there in a group home on a farm.
Mm.
And we took her up on January the 8th, a certain year, I've forgotten which one, and we brought her back home on January the 8th, 7 years later, which is quite mind-boggling. I didn't mean for it to be like that, but that's what happened. Exactly 7 years she was away, and she learned an awful lot up there, and we learned a lot too. It gave us a chance to do other things, gave her a chance to do other things.
Absolutely.
And we wanted her to be as independent as possible.
Mm-hmm.
That's always been the biggest push, for her to be able to do whatever it was she's capable of doing. So then we saw at that time that she wasn't really going to go any further. It was better for us to bring her home.
Yes.
So we did that. But at the same time, my mother had passed away in 1990. My dad had passed away in 1998, and we took Vanessa back home after my mum's funeral to Bega, and we went for a holiday, John and I, to Maroombula, which was a favourite place of ours. And we sat down, it rained all the time, it was in January or February, and it rained, and so wasn't much to do. So we sat and we thought, what would we really like to do with the rest of our lives? And so, and John was about 50.
Yes.
And I was 48, maybe he was 51. So we said, we wrote down what we'd like. And we already owned some land right on the lake at Maroombula. And we thought when he retired, because he had risen in his life, he had worked hard and become the general manager of Philips Electronics, you know, right throughout Southeast Asia. It was extraordinary.
But you don't get there without the work.
He worked. Mm. He
must have worked very hard and had the aptitude.
Mm. He was a round peg in a round hole.
Yes.
He loved his work. He was so good at it.
Mm.
He thrived on it. And I loved being, you know, the mum at home and the wife at home.
Mm.
Now that worked well. Anyway, what would we like for the rest of our lives, or what did we see?
Mm.
Now, the only thing I knew about was art, because I had been involved in quite a few.
A lifetime passion, really, wasn't it?
A lifetime passion, absolutely. And I had been in lots of art groups and learned a lot, you know. So I thought, I do know a bit about that. So we could do that, you know, trying to think what else could we do other than electronics. So we wrote down that we'd like a tri-level house overlooking Stillwater, which would be the lake, surrounded by gum trees, and we would put an art gallery on the top. That would be part of the top level. So that would satisfy both of us. Okay, so we're in accord. We've talked about this over a whole week, soul searched. This is what we both agree we would really like. Well, lay me down. The universe has an interesting way of dealing with life. So I strongly believe that the angels came past and they looked at that and they said, oh, that's what Bev and John really would like. Okay. Oh, well, we know where there's a place like that, because a few weeks later, just before Easter again, on Good Friday, John and I set off to go to Marysville, and we were going to have a little holiday because I couldn't, my mother died, I couldn't feel anything. This has happened sometimes. I was like I was in a glass bubble, and I wanted to feel something. And I knew we'd been to, we had our honeymoon in Marysville, and I knew I loved autumn, and I would really feel the autumn when we got to Marysville. So we set off, and we came through Hillsville. We lived in Veronia at that time. Came through Hillsville, and I sensed, I felt as we drove through, I thought, wow, I love this place. This has got all the old Aussie values. This feels good. And then we drove a little bit further up the, we were up to, towards the Miranda Dam, up the Black Spur.
Up the Spur, yeah.
There. And I looked out across, up to the hills across there, and all of a sudden, all my hair, the back of my neck stood up, and, oh, John, I said, oh, this is beautiful. Gosh, I could live here. And then we had no intentions of living here. Then we drove a bit further, came to the Miranda Dam, and I said to John, is the Miranda Dam around here somewhere? Because I used to go there when I was little. He said, oh, yes, just look over on your left and you'll see it. So I looked over on my left and I saw it, and I saw there was an art gallery, and it was for sale, for heaven's sake. Couldn't believe it. I was dumbstruck. Dumbfounded.
Overlooking the still water?
Overlooking the still water.
Tuned into Listen to Older Voices. Turning back time. Turning back time. Turning back time. Turning back time. Turning back time.
So John and I were both so shocked we just kept driving. And then eventually John said to me, that was an art gallery, Bev. Oh, I said, I know, I know. And I said, it's for sale. So then he said, well, would you like to turn around and have a look? And I said, oh, well, we're not in any hurry, are we? So, yeah. So we turned around, had a look, opened the door. As soon as we got out of the car, oh, that wonderful Aussie bush smell hit us, and it was just wondrous. I didn't know at that time that nobody was living there, so I may have walked on the land, but I didn't, very respectfully, just looked and thought, this is lovely. And then we, when we got to Marysville, we rang up, arranged to be able to see the estate agent, and I came the first time on the Wednesday to see it, and I went home to John. I said, "Oh, I don't know. It's a quantum leap, you know, and it's very big, much bigger than I thought." And so then we came again on the Saturday, and this is an interesting little aside. I like crystals, and when we took Vanessa back home to Bega, we stopped off to visit my sister in Canberra, and while she was at work one day, we went to visit the place in Hall, which had these, and I didn't know there was a crystal shop there. I just knew I had to go to Hall. So I went to Hall and I thought, what am I doing here? And anyway, walked around, and then all of a sudden, once again, the hair on the, you know, I thought, crikey. And there we go. There's this crystal shop. Well, Vanessa and I both love crystals, so we walked in there, and the lady did a reading for me. And she said, first of all, she said, well, this one you're going to have to hold in your hand. She said, look, something big's coming up for you. She said, you should be in business. You ought to be in business. Oh, well, that was something new for me. So I said, right. She said, now I want you to hang on to this rock all the time. It was a piece of fluorite. And then there's another little crystal, which was a blue crystal. And she said, now this one will give you your direction. I said, oh, right. Okay. That's beautiful. So we went out and we were going to go to this, to the National Gallery in Canberra. And I had this rock in my hand. Mm. It's crystal. And John said to me, you're not taking that in there. I said, yes, yes. The lady said I had to keep it in my hand. She said, they won't even let you in. I think you're going to throw the rock at one of the paintings. No, the lady said, so I'm going to do it. So anyway, I carried it around. And blow me down. I mean, I kid you not. I looked at all those paintings and I could tell what was good and what wasn't. And I don't know, and it was quite amazing. And that happened, you know, when we went to stay in at various places as well. So anyway, I don't know what it was, but I was sort of given this extra sense. So then about the other crystal, the lady said to me, now let's give you your direction. Well, I put it down my bra because I thought, oh, yeah, that'll be nice. I'll just put it down there, tuck it in, and lay me down. I lost the thing. So then I'd lost my direction before I even found it. But the day before, the day that we were going to see, or John was coming with me on the Saturday to see the art gallery.
Yes.
Blow me down. If John didn't find the crystal down in the one of our couches.
So he found your direction.
He found it. He gave it to me. He said, look here, Bev, look what I found. Okay. Well, I had a look, and because it's blue, and I love coloured glass, and I love looking through glass, you know, the light, and I held it up to the light, I looked at it, and I thought, good God, it's got three levels in it. And the place we were going to see had three levels, three stories. So, I mean, you wouldn't buy a place just on that.
No,
but it was just another added dimension.
Yes.
So,
part of the puzzle.
Another part of the puzzle. So we went there and we bought it, put our place on the market. It at auction sold very quickly. We moved very quickly and I set it up, called it Tuscany Galleries. And John was still working at that time. And he finished work. We opened it on my 49th birthday on the 20th of October, and he finished work on the, I think, about the 15th of November. And then we had that gallery then for, 14 years we had it open, and we lived there for another couple of years.
You can't run a gallery for 14 years without stories. I mean, things must happen. I say that to you, so what comes to your mind?
Oh, good Lord, I don't know. There's so many.
I mean, did you meet a lot of the artists?
Yes, of course.
Characters?
I mean, you're meeting artists all the time. And you've got to be very respectful. I knew where the artists were coming from because I had come from that space myself. But then, on the other hand, you're in another role where you're kind of being like a parent or an overall manager. to all these artists who are virtually solitary folk.
Yes.
And you've got to be very respectful. Look, I really can't think of anything in particular. Just so many of them. And all I can say is that, you know, I really cared about them. They really contributed a lot to our well-being. But I had a standard, and I had something in mind when I set up the gallery. And that's something we've set it up in 1990. And that was a time when Keating gave us the recession that we had to have. Well, we had no idea that that was going to happen, of course, when we bought it. Because the 80s had been, you know, rip-roaring, everything going higher and higher sort of time. And but we didn't pay an overprice. We paid a reasonable price for it. And we owned it outright, which was something. So, and we didn't have any kids at home. And so we only had ourselves to look after. And I said to John, who'd always been in employment, all our marriage at that time, which was 28 years, he'd never come home without a pay packet. He'd always been paid, and virtually worked for the same employer. But I said to him, John, if you come with me on this adventure, I promise to keep you in the manner to which you have become accustomed. Because I loved him. Mm-hmm. He'd worked hard.
Yeah. How did he respond to that?
I'm coming, Bev.
Didn't take much pushing.
I'm a coming, kid. He was happy for us to do that. Because he was getting fed up with it all. You know, he'd have to travel to England, to Cambridge, just for a meeting.
Oh, good Lord.
Stupid. You know, and I'd have been looking after the kids, and I'd just say to myself, he's just gone down the shop to get some milk.
Yes.
Because, you know, and he was away a lot.
Yes.
And we got fed up with it.
Sure.
And the responsibility.
So how would you rate the experience of running the gallery in your life?
Oh, wondrous.
Wondrous?
Yes, a fulfilment of a dream, I'd say.
And what led to you then giving it up? Did it just run its course in your life?
It ran its course in our life.
Yes.
And it was very large. And we had Vanessa living with us, and she helped us a lot. The garden was getting too much for us. We created a beautiful garden. We planted over 100 roses and, oh, gosh, thousands of daffodils. It was a beautiful, beautiful garden. Every time of the year, something was happening. And we loved it. And the view was superb. People loved to come and just look at the view. But you know when it's time to move on. And both of us were having trouble moving. Like, it was very steep, extremely steep, so that the land was not easy to move about on.
Indeed. And again, without putting too fine a point on it, as the years go on, that's not the sort of life your body wants, is it?
No,
it doesn't.
No. So we made ourselves a new Shangri-La, and we love it.
And
you're
here in Healesville.
We're still in Healesville. We'll never leave Healesville. We love it.
So it's been a most unusual and, by the sounds of it, a very interesting journey you've been on, and it's obviously well and truly not over yet.
No.
With a bit of luck, there's many, many years to go.
So.
What would you be looking for in the future, if it was ideal?
Well, just to bring it all together, the culmination, sort of write everything down so that my children and grandchildren can benefit from, you know, whatever wisdom I might have learned. I've travelled a lot, and we take a cruise every year, so that's nice. We'd like to keep doing that. But really, I'm into a space now of contentment, and I'm happy just to be home. Although I go out a lot, I must say. But yeah. I still love I love being home, and I love, you know, just being very grateful for everything.
And this is Listen to Older Voices, Ageless Stories on Ageless Radio.
Bev, we've spoken about Vanessa, your youngest daughter, but it would be remiss of me not to ask after your other son and daughter. How are they going?
Oh, that's a good question. Look, I'm immensely proud and happy with my elder children. Not only have they been a tremendous help to John and I, but they've gone on to have good lives of their own. They've both got a son and daughter each. And regarding their education, which I'm
also immensely proud of. Of their own volition, they've gone on to do their masters, each one of them. Angela has done her masters in maternal and child health care. And my son Paul has gone on to do his masters in law and with a grad dip in business law.
Is he working at the moment in that field?
Yes, he's only done that lately. So he's just moving into that field and he's an intellectual property attorney. That's what he's doing at the moment. And he's got a business of his own that's in the Rialto Towers. So I'm very proud of them. They're good kids. And what more can a mother say, you know?
It sounds like they've inherited your love for education, though.
You know, I always told them that as long as they could read, the reading was the secret key. I told them that when they were little kids. And if they could read, then the whole world was open to them. They could do anything at all that they wanted to do. So they both became avid readers and they're doing what they want. So what more could I ask for? My heart's happy.
Now, as I said, hopefully that you've got many, many, many years to go, but that time is going to come and it comes to all of us. Living and dying is part of being a human.
Sure.
When that time does come, how would you like your friends and your family in particular to think of you when you've passed on? How would you like to be remembered?
Well, I'll put it in a different way. Mm-hmm. In my mind, I think that when I do go, the one question that God or Jesus or whoever's going to meet me says to me will be, Beverly, how much have you loved?
And what will you say?
I gave it my best shot.
And can you ask for more than that? Beverly, thank you for sharing this time with us. It's been most wonderful.
Good on you. Thank you.
Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Uniting Victoria Tasmania. The program is funded from the Commonwealth and State Government's Home and Community Care Program and is brought to you through the Toorak Times.